Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? What's happening? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Last week, we spoke about the Matterhorn Creek incidents, and I didn't happen to mention that there was a similar bite series that took place in the Red Sea in Sharm el-Sheikh in November 2010. So today, I'd like to recall this incident. It all happened within 5 days, between November 30th and December 5th, 2010, in a stretch of 8 kilometers. 4 bites happened within 22 hours, and the 5th bite, a fatal one, occurred on the morning when the beaches were reopened. I was part of the investigation team, and we actually wrote a paper about it this year, so if you like a copy, send me a note through Let's Talk Shark. So what happened? It was in the morning of November 30th, 2010, when within 10 minutes, the first 2 people got bitten. Olga Marcinko and Lyudmila Stoyarova at a place called Coral Bay. Olga was initially snorkeling with her daughter, and when she turned on her back and relaxed, it happened. A shark moved towards her, grabbed her arm, and pulled her below water, and in the process severed her arm below the elbow. The shark then lacerated her right leg as well as bit her lower back and buttocks. Lyudmila, the second victim, was less than 100 meters from Olga when she was bitten. During that incident, the shark first bit off her foot and then severed her arm below the elbow as well. Looking at the wounds, it seemed that the shark was holding on to her lower arm and she tried to pull it away and then it was severed in the process. So sometimes it's revealing that we understand exactly how a wound was created. So in this case, because the person was pulling away, the lower arm got severed. Rather shocked with these 2 incidents, most people stayed away from the water for the rest of the day, but the controlling agencies of that stretch of the coastline had no intentions to actually shutting down the beaches. So the next morning, close to 11 a.m., Victor Colley was snorkeling with his wife and son at the edge of the reef of Ras Nasrani when a shark started to circle them. Of course, the family tried to rush to shore right away, so when Victor was very close to shore, he actually was the last of his family. The shark was that close that Victor tried to defend himself. He used his dive mask to hit the shark and was bitten in any area in the process. He sustained multiple lacerations, but nothing really serious. At the same reef, a few minutes later, Eugene Trishkin was also snorkeling. It was Ras Nasrani when a shark grabbed his left arm and Eugene started to hit the shark with his right hand. The shark let go of his left arm and grabbed the right one, causing severe wounds. After this incident, the beaches were finally closed. In the process, it was concluded that 3 of the 4 cases were caused by an oceanic white-tipped shark and a single mako. Looking at the wounds, especially punctures and lacerations, confirm there was an oceanic white-tipped, and based on the wound dimension, it was likely a single shark because the size of the wounds were the same. There was a single oceanic white-tipped actually seen a few days prior to the incident and during the incident with a little notch on the caudal fin. Although the size of the shark is correct and it was likely this animal, the notch was not a wound that hindered the animal to function normally as was implied. Basically, the shark is sort of not able to get regular food, so he would start trying to eat people. Of course, that's not really true, but well, you know, that's what you could read in the newspapers. That a mako shark was also present was easily confirmed. I mean, they saw a mako and they said, "Oh, it's a mako." It's kind of rare, but a small mako shark was caught shortly after. And this shark had an upper jaw deformation, which was easily seen in the wound of the victim. So now the beaches were closed for December 2nd and 3rd. What remained unclear is why the government agencies decided that the beaches should only be closed for 2 days, and more importantly, what they decided to implement with regards to beach goer safety. Bottom line, nothing was done to prevent any further incidents. So there were no patrolling boats, no helicopters, nothing. And so, on the early morning of December 5th, the beaches were reopened. At 12 o'clock the same day, the 70-year-old Renate Seifert was killed by a shark. I worked her case, and what's really mind-blowing was that where several of her wounds would have been fatal in themselves, so it didn't really make sense that the shark would keep biting and biting. Except if there was a reason to do that. Renate Seifert shouted that a shark hit her. The two lifeguards, which then approached her by boat, said that she was already dead upon arrival. And you see, that is what I do not believe. I'm convinced that she was still alive when the two rescuers arrived. Why? Because of the wound arrangements. She lost the distal two-thirds of the right forearm. She also sustained complete loss of the right lower leg, with complete tissue avulsion from the right thigh. She also sustained complete loss of the right lower leg, with complete tissue avulsion from the right thigh. And the femur was denuded of flesh along its entire length. In addition, she sustained complete loss, complete tissue avulsion of parts of her pelvis. So parts of these wounds would require for the shark to swim backwards while holding on to her in order that, again, that he could denude some of these areas. And that's not possible. Thus, it is more likely that the lifeguards were pulling her out of the water or tried to, and the shark grabbed her or was still holding on to her. That's the only idea that I could imagine how this could have happened. Maybe you remember how we called such a motivation? Well, again, correct, claim response. We will never know for sure, but I'm convinced Renate Seifert got killed because of a claim response. So this is the correct chronology. This is how it happened. So you may know the same story, maybe a little different story, but overall, it was a very, very weird incident. Very weird series. So there were at least two sharks involved, an oceanic white tip and a Miko. Although no conclusive case, 1, 2, and 5 seem to have involved the same shark because it definitely was an oceanic white tip and it was the same size, while case 4 can be attested to a Mako, leaving the third incident. Me? I believe it was the same animal that we concluded for 1, 2, and 5, but my co-authors believe that the Mako was responsible for that as well. So a Mako had two victims and the oceanic had three victims. One way or the other, this incident is the first one, without doubt, that a single shark did go after people several times in a very short period of time. So the oceanic bit either three people in 6 days or four people in 6 days. Of course, we will never know what truly happened. So all we can do is looking at the wounds and come up with a most likely scenario. So one really weird thing is, why did the shark go after the people's hands? Well, there is an idea for it. Sharks in this area were hand-fed in the past, although in 2010 it was prohibited that you could feed any more sharks. But some of these handlers, actually, these feeders had a pouch in the small of their back, so that could explain the preference for the hands. Well, whatever it was at the end that triggered these incidents must have been very, very powerful. If the Mako shark came to shore for the same reason is unclear, because Makos are very rare and they are high sea species, so a Mako shark coming very close to shore, we're talking a few meters, that is really, really unusual. But considering the species and how close the incident occurred, it could be considered that this animal actually was lured in for the same reason as was the oceanic white tip. It was spread through the news that a religious feast was the cause that brought these animals closer to shore. This feast happens on a yearly basis, And of course, there's a lot of eating, and most of the time they have too much meat. And what they do then is they dump the sheep in the ocean, so far out, but it was assumed that to the dumped sheep, the sharks then were carcass feeding, and then based on that, they followed the current into the shore area. The dumping happened about 1 week prior to the incidents. I don't really think that this is the reason why the sharks came to shore, because would that be the attractant? We would have seen incidents in the past in that region during the same time, and we never saw it. So there are still a lot of question marks, some answers we found based on the wound. So again, if you would like to get more information about this incident, drop me a note through Let's Talk Shark, and I'll send you the paper, okay? Well, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.